traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
That's exactly what they're doing right here. That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to sensationalize something, get views, and get traffic. I don't give a fuck if it's to a good cause. You do not do it like that. You do not. It's so sad to me that our education system has gotten to this point. It's so sad.
All right, boys, have some shots. Got all three right. Shots here.
What do we got? What do we got?
What is in those?
What do you think? My daily dose.
Red Bull? Human piss?
3 shots of Red Bull? My go, guy. Go, all right. Go. What is it? It's got to be like day 45 of soberness,
he's going
huh?
for it. He's going for it. He's too there deep. Go. There comes the third. Uh-oh, he's going to be gassed.
Tilt it back,
episode.
Mike. Bottoms up. That a boy. Wow. Welcome back to wow. Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing. We're like 45 to 50 days sober right now. Mike's taking shots of Red Bull.
I'm feeling good.
Good. Jim. Yeah, a little energy in his system. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button.
Wait a second. That wasn't Red Bull. That was Shannon Briggs' energy drink.
Was it really?
And I can only say one thing now. Let's go,
Let's
champ.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ. Champ, as you guys know, we are in training camp for my fight against KSI coming up on November 9th at the Staples Center. It's going to be huge. I think it's going to be one of the biggest boxing events of the year. Training hard for this fight. Mm-hmm. We're post-press conference now. The team is in full effect. Everything's great here, if I'm being honest.
We went to the Canelo Alvarez conference yesterday.
That's right.
And the guy from DAZN came on and started talking. And he's like, we've got some joint events planned this year for all you DAZN subscribers. And started listening them off. And I go, you better fucking say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, DAZN Logan Paul versus KSI. Yeah. And I was like, you better fucking say
well, because they've left us out and we called them out on this. They left us out on some of the posters. And it's like, yo, what's good? We're professional fighters now. It's legit, no head guards. I'm risking my life for this. Put me on that fucking poster. But it was so interesting to see the way a legitimate boxing press conference is run. Yo, so professional.
Super professional.
These guys are looking good. The fighters they meet, they're like,
shaking hands.
Wow, good luck on the fight.
By the way, your hair looks incredible.
Your kids are awesome.
Hey, guys, photo time. Photo time. All right, and you're good. Go back to it.
Yo, and the one thing I noticed was we were there and everybody there was so amped and so professional. And I hate to say this because at 34 years old, I expect more from myself. We cannot go anywhere.
Anywhere.
Together.
Morons.
We, just idiots, bro.
Especially why? In a serious setting. Dude, we're just making jokes about everything. Like this lady named Kathy came up who's like a commissioner of some sort. And like, you know, she gave her speech and she finishes 60-year-old lady. I'm like, yeah, Kathy!
Screaming.
Ryan Garcia comes up. I'm like, I love you, Ryan. All was right.
That, everybody looking at you?
Oh, yeah. There oh, yeah. Canelo comes up.
You want to know what it?
What is that?
What?
What? What'd you do?
Oh, Canelo! Yeah.
Every person we saw up there, my thing when I watch like press conferences or when I'm out in public, I look at people and I make up stories of what they're thinking in their head. So there was this one bald guy with a mustache and I was like, I remember when I designed the Monopoly game and I still don't know what's the difference between community chess and chances. And I'm like saying it all out loud and everyone's just dying around us.
So, yeah, some dude looked like he just finished signing the Declaration of Independence.
Yo, that's exact good. Replica. That's
good. And popped his way up on the stand.
That's good.
But yeah, it was cool because like if you saw our press conference, not quite the same. Not quite. JJ has no dick and he had just learned it apparently.
Right. Yeah. He confirmed.
He goes, what?
Yeah, I think
ask your mom.
It would be boring though if society didn't have people like you guys. In my opinion, there's got to be some spice, bro.
Bro, it's such a dynamic balance to society. Us obnoxious morons play a pivotal role.
Well, it's true. Tough. It's tough for people to digest with us too, because like he happens to be a giant child, but he's also going to beat the shit out of you in the ring. He's also got more views than you on YouTube. I'm a giant child. I happen to be fucking amazing at business. Hey, like it's so people are like, I want to fuck with these people. And by the way, we're fucking Casa Goddang Novas with the wind. Like
and huge, huge cocks.
Massive cocks.
Yo, yo, yo. Tim Dillon Tim Dillon, who I did a podcast with. Tim Dillon's a comedian.
This is so fun.
And I went on Theo Von's podcast, and it was me and Tim Dillon as the guests. And this dude's hilarious, by the way. I want to have him on the show. But speaking on the, like, it is a bit of a tough camp to hate on because, yeah, we could be a little cringe and a little obnoxious, but we do have a lot of good things going for us. And this dude made a sketch or something on his podcast. I want to try to pull this up. All right, I got it. This is it. This was on Tim Dillon's podcast, I think.
I did this podcast with Logan Paul. All these guys were like, I can't believe you're doing a podcast with Logan Paul. I hope you just roast him. I hope you, and I'm like, no, I'm going to ask him for a job, right. You dumb fucks. The idea of comics ridiculing YouTube stars, that's over.
What, you live in a mansion?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you live in? And you could say to a guy like that, hey, I think your content sucks. You'd go, yeah, it's not great. I just think it's so funny that I'm going to get up there with my shitty fucking career and start talking shit to this guy.
Right. Hey, buddy, I'm the real deal. I'm a comic.
What do the Pauls do? I know they went to the suicide farm.
Oh. Team 10 is shit. Logan farm. Is Logang. He's fighting KSI, this black YouTuber from the UK. It's a major event, and they're selling out the Staples Center in LA. I'm hawking CBD oil on a podcast, and you want me to go shit on him? What world are you in? What O&A fantasy land do you fucking people live in?
It's incredible.
I love that.
That was great.
I love that, bro.
Hey, yo, Tim Dillon, well said. He's coming on October 1st, let's by go. The way. Mm. So that's going to be exciting.
I feel like at this point, like, don't you think we've become those people that it's like, I don't really want to go against these people. I think they're just so much fun. I want to be on their side.
Which I thought in the last press conference when I was looking at KSI, I was like, this motherfucker wants to be my friend right now. Mm. He wants to be on our side.
Yeah, he wasn't really giving you too much eye contact. That's what I'm saying. It was kind of like looking at your mouth and your cheek, like you wanted to just kind of kiss you or something.
We got close once. I'm always so curious.
Did you edit the tears or was that like from the sun, by the way?
No, I didn't. I was sweating, but it went right around my orbital and just
I thought
right
you edited the
eye.
Tear on.
No. That was a legit, like, it looked like I was crying.
Incredible.
But it's so interesting with fighters, like these two tough guys get face to face. Like the boundary between love and hate is so thin nowadays. Like between making love and hating each other. Just right there.
Yeah, I thought you guys were going to start.
Well, think about it. Why on God's green earth would I be that close to any human being unless I'm going to kiss them? I've never been close to any person.
It's true.
Any male that close. I'm like, I think KSI, it's like girls. And then KSI is right on the bottom of that list. Go. Yep.
Are we sticking with the boxing? Cause I just thought of the Anna Akana interview or podcast that we did. And there, I was looking through the feedback cause she shared it out. I always like when our guests share the stuff out, cause that's great. And I saw some feedback from some like massive like left wing guy. And she said, you know, basically healthy debate and civil discourse seems like dying, but it's great exercise by talking to Logan on so many important issues. Very respectful. Yeah. Not, I love the guy, but yo, we had a healthy discussion. This guy said, I mean, yeah, but you're also normalizing him and lending your weight and audience to him. So sometimes healthy debate and civil discourse are counterproductive, even when we're aiming to have a more civil and rational society.
And Anna said, by the way, she responded to him and said, I disagree.
She did.
I think that thought process right there, that logic is toxic. I think that's how you don't make any progress ever.
So mm-hmm. I went down his page and he had made another tweet.
What's this dude's name?
I'm not going to say.
I'll say it.
No. I have to do that. He went on yesterday and 14 hours ago, which I guess was right after she posted it. He went with one that was kind of like this. I'm not going to defend cancel culture, and I definitely think people deserve an opportunity to repent and redeem themselves. But when someone mediocre has a lucrative career in entertainment and there are many funnier and more interesting people, maybe a little judging is okay. To which I responded quickly, but just keep in mind that you're deep. Do you have? Oh,
but just keep.
Yeah, go ahead.
But just keep in mind that you're deeming them mediocre might be in contrast to the reason that they have this lucrative career, because the masses find them to be anything but mediocre. As long as you never mistake your opinion for fact, you can judge all you want.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
like, great, we appreciate your minority opinion on it. Like, I'm glad that you have it. But guess what? Unfortunately, no one's looking for your opinion on it. There's millions and millions of people that find not only Logan, but it, Impulsive and all the other entities we work on to be much more than mediocre.
I'll tell you what happened. Like, or we're just like, we're so mediocre. We're the number one mediocre people.
We're the best at being okay.
Exactly. Which we're the number one okay people in the world.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Same. I don't want to be perfect.
Here's what happened
That.
Scott Metter, my guy, he got that blue check.
Damn.
And now
it's good.
Now his opinion matters.
It's true. He's got 4 likes. Now dog. He's now, from Gilbert.
Now he's like, big dog on campus. Dog. And by the way, how the fuck did you get verified?
Fucking A, dude.
You're following the same amount of followers as you got.
Yeah.
It's kind of messed up, Twitter, because I got 47. And my Twitter is, by the way, probably the dopest thing on Twitter.
Follow him on Twitter right now.
At Mike Malak.
He's incredible. But here's what.
Don't
this
follow
is interesting.
Me.
Good segue. No, don't follow Spencer.
Don't.
At
Spencer Vibes.
Don't do that.
Just don't do it. Don't. Please.
Verification, dude. YouTube is rolling back verifications. They're stripping away verified YouTube channels. This came on. It's popped off today. This is a brand new thing.
I didn't know YouTube even verified.
Also didn't know.
To monetize or what is that?
I have no idea. But
are you sure they're not just like taking something back that wasn't even real?
It wasn't there.
Hey, give me that gift I gave you.
And by the way, that would still cause an uproar. But look, I'm on my YouTube channel right now. Looks like I still got it, boys.
Oh, woo! Shit.
Little great check.
19.8. Almost there.
Some creators are not happy about this, guys. They're complaining that YouTube is rude, is stripping back the legitimacy of being a creator. Any opinions? I have some as a YouTuber myself.
I mean, I don't have the check. And I also have to say, to Spencer's point of it being like a gift that someone didn't give you, it's almost like Charlie coming on and taking the shoes back that he gave me in the beginning of that show. He never gave me any fucking shoes. Yeah, so I don't have a check. That. So I guess I don't have an opinion.
Let me ask you something, Mike. Does it bother you you're not verified on Twitter?
On Twitter, no, actually, it doesn't. Maybe 1%.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be verified on Twitter, but I also don't give that much of a fuck because at the end of the day, it's a system for customer service engagement.
So
it's fucking Twitter, dude. Like, I love it, but like, I tweet at Delta.
So at first, my opinion was, I don't know why creators are placing so much validation on a stupid checkmark on your YouTube channel. Mm. And if you're not verified, maybe therein lies the problem because you place happiness on like being validated by YouTube. But then I think the problem is that they're rolling it back. So they're saying, hey, you were okay to have this credential and now you're not.
They're not taking checks away.
No.
Yeah,
yes,
they are.
What?
That's the problem. So they used to... The Verge reported they used to give check marks to anybody who had 100,000 subscribers. So now they're releasing new criteria.
Which, by the way, I don't think that's a bad criteria. Like, how many people have 100,000 subscribers? I think now it's like if your channel is being duplicated and people are trying to impersonate you, obviously that happens with my channel. But some big creators, like I know Lena was tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Some big creators who are indeed being impersonated on YouTube are getting their validation or their verification stripped away, which is, it's a little fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Do you think some of this is like the crossfire of just YouTube being as big as they are?
A lot of it is, I think. I think that's why you have a lot of the, you know, all the adpocalypse, all the stuff that's happened over the past couple of years. I mean, that's the cost of being the boss, you know, that heavy lies the crown. They got all these problems. I'll tell you what, though. Twitter, YouTube, all that shit's cool. You take away my god dang IG check, I'm going to fucking war. I'm going out in the fucking streets, bro, and I'm ready to hunt and just annihilate.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's biggest,
Well, because IG, like...
That actually is significant.
IG, well,
it's
it plays
so blue.
A huge part.
It's so blue
in social construct, like in real life. Like when Mike goes out to a club, dude, you want to know the only reason why girls talk to him? Blue check.
Of course. Nothing like being funny. None of that.
None of that.
They're like you're blue like. Check. And by the way,
how do they know though? That's my thing. Is it like an aura that kind of glows?
I'll tell you how. Because
I wear a name tag.
I'm not going to say his name, but someone used to. Someone I worked with used to do this. Oh god.
Oh shit.
We'd go out to a club, and this person would put girls in his story, in his Instagram story.
Oh, that's so
and then
smart.
He'd tag them. And at first I was like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you're kind of like giving these girls
free.
They're putting them on for no
yeah,
reason.
Right.
You're giving these girls free clout. And then I understood the strategy was after he tags them, they get notified. They go to his page and they're like, oh,
he's got a
following and a blue check. Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
That's,
and by the way, respect, working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Hey, because sometimes that cloud is all these girls are looking for.
Yeah. I feel like the Instagram blue check just cuts through the noise, though.
Oh,
you get ranked at the top.
Oh,
your profile starts growing faster.
Hey, that's the biggest thing. That, by the way, that in my eyes, that is the biggest benefit of having a blue check is your rot.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Your rise to the top of comments. So if I go comment on Justin Bieber's post, I'm going to be in the top 5 comments. Okay? Do you know what that does for 5? So that's why a lot of times you'll see so many people commenting, even though they don't really have... Olga Safari, I'm sorry, you're guilty of it. She comments on every picture anybody posts because she's smart. It's a smart business move because she knows that people are going to see her at the top and follow.
I'm not convinced Olga's doing that for business.
She like, just loves us all.
She's
just a genuine
person.
Hey, I got more than one hat. You know that, right?
Huh? Like right on physically right now?
Nah. But I have more than one. I've been getting some shit lately for this sweaty ass LA hat.
The people are commenting. Same hat.
Whoa,
he does have more than one.
Holy crap.
A lot of hats.
Damn.
I've never worn 90% of these. By the way, look at this one that just happens to be in there. Remember this hat? It was chewed up by Ginger the dog.
No.
This is mine, bro.
Wow.
This is
you gotta save that, dude. That's going in the Smithsonian
bro,
for
this
sure.
This is the Olympic dab hat.
Yeah.
Does this look familiar?
You know what? I've been debating with people because I interviewed you back in 2017 for my documentary. You're wearing that hat.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And I've talked to multiple people that it might be the move to re-interview you. The content's great. Don't get me wrong.
His
I would
hair.
Love to watch
just,
it.
I would love to watch
evolved,
it.
You've just evolved. You know what I'm saying?
Evolved. I in an interview recently I had for
your hair is like floating, bro. It's
like, it's like talking with so you. How was your hair so light back in the day? Bro. Like defied gravity, bro. And that was when that is like the Logan Paul that all the like younger fans miss. They're like, we want back the gravity defying Logan Paul where his hair just floated, bro. It looked like he stuck his finger in
it's like a it was like a mud flap, but like, you know, like for the forehead.
For
it was
hair.
Just like,
we get it, guys.
No, it was good. It was
cute.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, we get it.
Somebody sent me $10 for talking about Christianity on the podcast yesterday.
It's good.
On Venmo?
$10 on Venmo for bringing the Lord Jesus into the conversation.
That's awesome. Shout out Jesus.
Shout out Jesus and shout out the guy that sent me the $10.
Yeah, Christianity's a religion.
That's a fact.
I was going to say something about the documentary. Yeah, I've evolved for sure. And by the way, my evolution is making me realize that everyone evolves. Or you should. Like, make that a goal. Is Mac in the room? My friend Mac taught me about this this principle or this theory. I forget what it's called. It's like something growth theory where you don't want to start off the best you can be right away.
Hell no.
It's good to start even, I was going to say mediocre, even less than mediocre, and gives you room to grow and adapt and evolve to become that best thing. A prime example would be any artist who has come out with a hit and they go number one right off the bat. You know how hard it is to follow up with a number
hell
one
yeah.
hit? Like Lil Nas X is kind of doing a good job of it, but you think of that one song, Fireflies, that came out. You would not believe your eyes.
Oh,
10 million fireflies.
Yeah.
Out by Owl City. Like, where did they go?
Yeah.
Like so many just songs specifically in music industry, we see it the most. But I like that I am evolving. And I did have that period of just like cringe shit. And by
hell
the way,
yeah.
I'm still at like the tail end of it. Like,
yeah.
I need to, I need one big thing to set me over and make me an adult. I don't know what it is. If I had the rest of my 15% of my balls back, I think I'd be there by now. I'm not. I'm serious, bro.
You probably would.
Because that's just making me a child still.
I heard a, I don't remember who said it, but it's a start that stops most people. And I love that quote because it's exactly what you're describing. So many of us get in these ideas in our head. I have to be perfect. It has to be, you know, perfectly planned. And unless it's planned, I'm not going to start. I'm not going to do it. And, you know, I'm guilty of that at times, but that's why I'm like trying to put out YouTube content, just trying to move it forward little bit by little bit.
Dive in.
And I'll post something and I'll be like, this is so stupid. Yeah. Like it's horrible, but I'm like, hey, at least I'm like, learning. At least that feedback is coming back where I can see myself looking stupid.
Yeah.
And I tweeted this the other day, like vulnerability wins. When you're vulnerable, it's like people might make fun of you. And if you're not strong-willed, like you'll take that offense and you'll be like, damn, I'm going to stop. But if you're like, fuck it, dude, I know I look like an idiot right now, but I'm just going to keep doing it. You're going to win and they're not. They're going to watch you win.
Can I go on a quick tangent before you say something?
I was going to touch on it, but I'll wait till after you're done.
I was going to say when KSI and I were face to face and the second time he said something like, he goes, what are you going to cry like you did last year? And I was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Oh, and then I was like, oh, I remember we released a trailer of our documentary that we made that's coming out. And there's an emotional scene. I broke down and I cried and I hadn't cried in like 5 years, dude. And I started crying and we got it on film, which is crazy because I never cry. And that, I think that's what he was referencing. And so instead of like trying to be tough guy, I was like, well, you never cry before, dude. And that's when I hit him in the chest. I was like, yo, you're so fucking tough. And that's when I started like jerking off my invisible dick.
Somebody got the picture.
Like, I was like, you're such a big guy. So strong, huh? You never cry.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's good to be vulnerable. Like, man, I'll cry whenever I goddamn feel like it. And guess what? You ain't gonna do shit.
Are you gonna cry now?
Maybe.
Yeah, dude, crying. It feels so good too after.
Don't be a pussy about it, Spencer. Jesus,
it feels good.
No, I was just gonna say this.
Will you let it out? Oh, come on! Don't call me a bitch.
Hold on a second. All right.
I cried recently.
It feels damn good.
Oh, John Cena made me cry.
What?
Swear to God,
that'll make you cry.
Swear to God.
Did he try to like tackle you into a pool?
No, it was. He made this video where fans wrote him letters and thanked him for all the great things he did. And then they came out real time.
Oh, shit.
And surprised him. And John Cena, just, he's the man, dude. John Cena made me cry. And you know.
Did he cry?
Huh?
Did he cry?
Yeah, he did.
That'll make any man cry.
It was like that. It was like that one, that manly one tear cry. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Trickles down the nose.
And, you know, online, some people, this narrative has kind of passed, but some people used to comment like, oh, he's a sociopath, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, comments sometimes, after a while, you start to consider them.
Mm.
You know, we love when people give us feedback on the show and comment. That's how we improve and be the best we can be. And so eventually I was like, yo, am I fucking sociopath? What are you? So like whenever I start crying now, like I'll take a pic just to prove to myself like I'm crying. And I sent it to a girl. And,
wow.
And she said—
That's a power move.
Well, dude, like, I don't know. Girls love crying.
Yeah, be careful with how you use that though. That's a weapon.
What? Bro, who cares, dude? Like, if you don't cry, look.
Oh, no.
You did a video?
I think so.
Wow.
What the hell is that picture?
Bro, man, we go back and forth.
You drew a mustache on her face.
Me and this girl always send each other stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking about what you were saying about starting, too. About, like, starting somewhere.
Hold on a sec.
All right.
Skirt. Like
I gotta find this video of me crying.
That's what just happens, like LA traffic. Like, hey, I'm going. Stop.
I can't stop crying. Oh my god,
it's amazing.
Yo, shout out John Cena. We love you, John Cena.
Did you just send that to a girl?
Yeah.
I love, dude. John Cena made me cry. That's great.
That made me cringe so bad. The fact that you're recording yourself crying makes me like.
Well, because I didn't
got to document it.
It was more of like a.
You got to document it.
No, it was more of like I told this girl. I was like, hey,
it's a joke.
John Cena made me cry, and she's like, what? How? And then I send that video like I'm in tears right now. And also, like I said, to prove to myself that I'm not a fucking sociopath.
That's good.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say the point he made about all the way back to starting low. That's a great point. I look back to my own story about that too, from how low can you actually start, you know? And so it's been a great rise and fun to watch, but also about starting. How do you think I felt the first day I did the night shift? Do you know what there was a piece of paper, by the way, there still is a piece of paper that announces it. There was just one piece of paper right here. And I walked in here and sat down on the camera and said, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. And like, literally look at it now, you know, almost 200,000 subs, 250 to 700,000 views a video. Like, you just have to start. Just start anything. Like, you may hate it. You may think it's cringe. You may think it sucks. But by the way, people might watch it and be like, yo, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life, which is what happened to me.
Have you guys seen The Patriot Act from Hasan Minhaj?
The movie, right? With Mel Gibson?
No, it's a new show on Netflix.
That's The Patriot. Great movie, by the way.
That's phenomenal.
What's it called?
But The Patriot Act. Super good show. And we were talking the other day. I don't know his full story, but I know one of his friends who, this guy's been like, he's tried to release his own series multiple times. They've gotten cut. Like, people told him, like, he's not funny. Like, he's tried to do stand-ups. And now his show's crushing it on Netflix.
I love that.
So it's cool because so many people, like, try and try and try and fail.
And by the way, it's not crazy unfamiliar that a lot of people start low. For example.
Uh-oh, what do we got?
Justin Trudeau.
Oof. We're rolling there, huh?
I mean, I guess we're here.
Wow.
So he's the Prime Minister of Canada?
Canada.
Yep.
So you think he's a nice guy. He probably is a nice guy. He's probably a decent man. But the problem is, something just came out recently. Homie did blackface in 2001. He dressed up as Aladdin and went real dark.
Wait, brownface.
Brownface?
Yeah, it's brownface.
I'm colorblind.
That's what they're calling it.
I'm legitimately colorblind.
And he's like just choking somebody out.
That's Monica Lewinsky.
Monica made her way up to Canada.
Wow, this is brown body. I mean, gee, not a spot missed. What the F? This came out and he said he's sorry and he didn't mean to do it. Somehow, and for some reason, the video where he apologized was on an airplane. Did anyone else think this was weird? He's on a passenger jet.
All right, let's get the set. Set
let's
up
just
here.
Knock this out real quick. Damn, I got to get back up to first class.
Man, once
again. Did you see? I want to pull up the other image. Scroll up a little bit, because it's interesting because he posted a picture as well. Yeah, go over here to the left with a couple guys who are Middle Eastern.
Oh,
and they don't seem too offended back then.
Well, he was trying to be Aladdin.
Oh, okay.
That was. I think that's what he was trying to dress up as. But
fuck. Dude.
I mean, I'll say it again. No one's safe. No one's safe.
This came out. That's 2001.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a while ago.
This came out, man. And like once again for the thousandth time in my career, I'm like, yo, I'm like checking my past. I'm like, did I do any like fucked up shit? Like, did I ever do brownface? And I know I didn't. But who knows? There's deep fakes now I'm terrified of. I know, what's his name? Pusha T made Drake a brown face or something on his diss track. Like, yeah. I don't know, like with Photoshop and everything, I'm getting this, so scared.
This always brings me back to Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh yeah, classic.
Like, I mean, it's a, how can you, you know, I'm not saying this is okay to do, but nobody really did people get mad at him?
That one was different. That one was different because he was just a dude disguised as a dude playing another dude.
This is because it's acting,
yes,
right?
Yeah. This one is far different. This one's far different when it's Justin Trudeau in brownface. Okay. And the reason it's different is because it's not different at all. I don't give a shit about this. It was 20 fucking years ago. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
The problem is he holds a position of utmost responsibility.
Did he then?
I don't think it matters. I think the perception is that anyone who will ever be in that position should be an outstanding human throughout the entirety of
like
their life.
Like Trump. So are we saying that in order to be a successful celeb, public figure, whatever nowadays, you quite literally have to have a perfect life? You better be able to go back and make sure that at no point in your life, even in your young adolescence, did you do anything to fuck. See, the good thing about me is my entire life has been a fuck up. You can't pick out a single one point because I'm gonna be like, did you see what I did a week earlier? That's the one you're gonna bring up? A right. week earlier, I did something that was 50 times worse, right. But I'm open about it.
Yeah, I think that's the difference is you wear it. You know, you wear it on your sleeve. And some people like Trudeau, like you're you know, they look perfect. They look like someone who's very charming and you want to believe that they're perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
And when you find out they're deceiving you, they're like not telling you like they made mistakes. They're a normal human being. You're like, what the, you know, you get pissed.
Cause I remember when Trump said about going out on Fifth Ave to shoot people. That was like the first, time I knew that he was like one of those people that you couldn't cancel. Cause he's like, yo, I live.
Obvious that this is something that was deeply regrettable. I am wary of being definitive about this because the
wait, that's where you're gonna stop it?
Yeah, man.
I was kind of in it.
Nah, I just wanted to see him for a sec. I mean, I don't know. Look, apology videos are amusing. Mine has 53 million views, more views than most of all my content. Like, people love to watch people fuck up and then apologize.
Can
for
you get
it.
A platinum like record for like
for
I'm
apology
sorry?
Videos?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. 100 million streams. You get a platinum plaque for
Let's
apologies.
Upload that on Spotify ASAP.
Talking of people fucking up, I'm surprised we didn't go with this one first before Justin Trudeau, 6ix9ine is in court and he is ratting on everybody.
Oh, seen wow. It.
Everybody. Wow. I've seen it. Not a single person is safe. In the past 2 days, he has claimed that rapper Trippy Red, rapper Jim Jones, and even Cardi B are gang members.
Cardi B.
Party with Cardi. And so literally, the first thing I did when I heard that was reach out to his legal team. And I DM'd. Listen, I didn't tell you this yet. I reached out to his legal team through a contact that I have, and they have, along with testifying against Cardi B and others, his legal team sent this statement. He is in the next couple weeks going to be testifying about gang involvement with several members of One Direction, Keenan from Keenan and Kel. Stephen Hawking and 6ix9ine has personally witnessed Abraham Lincoln putting out hits for the in LA. This is from his legal team.
Are you sure you got in touch with his legal team?
So all eyes are watching this case over the next couple of weeks. I mean, this is breaking news.
Abe Lincoln. You had me, but then once you said Abe, that's
how did I have you through Stephen Hawking?
I'm kidding. You did it.
Steve, oh my God. Bro, this dude's just ratting on everyone.
Everyone, bro. Wow, he's just going for it. You think he could ever, if he miraculously somehow got out of jail anytime soon, you think he could make his way back in the rap game?
Nah, dude, he's not going to make his way back to his house.
Yeah.
Here's why I disagree,
bro.
I do.
I have to, too. Because we did talk about this some people. Also with some people that have knowledge of the
situation. Do you think he's just going to pay every dollar he has for security?
No. Yeah, for sure. But also, okay, so some big-time rappers, like actual rappers, hip-hop guys, are like, nah, 6ix9ine, there's no chance he makes a comeback in hip-hop. No one will take him seriously. Here's a problem. The masses are idiots. A lot of people that consume 6ix9ine music don't give a fuck about 6ix9ine and what he did or didn't do. They just love the way the music sounds. So if he comes back and makes some slaps, I'm sorry to say, I think he'd jump back on top.
Do you think
real quick?
Do you think a record label would like back him?
Somebody said potentially an international play. Like for example, is he Mexican? Is he Mexican?
I don't know. I think so. I'm gonna put my final answer.
Someone talked about like say he activates in Mexico and he goes down there and starts making like reggaeton. Is that Mexico? Fuck. I don't fuck.
No, that's
wrong.
Not it
is
at
that
all.
Way wrong?
Yeah, that's, not reggaeton. I'm pretty sure that's
we can't cut that. I didn't mean reggaeton. What I meant to say was Latino music. Okay. Latino tone.
Just run it.
Fuck it.
You got it.
Anyways,
well, it's okay because Mike can't be canceled as we just learned.
That's true. I'm like three things cancel worthy from this podcast.
Imagine that's why I get canceled. Malak has been canceled from Impulsive for calling Mexican rap reggaeton or Latino tone.
Yo. Oh, it's going to happen. Oof. Oh, I can't wait.
Damn.
5 years from now.
You've been calling this for a while.
Bruh, 5 years from now, I'm going to be killing it. Uh-oh. I'm going to be just murdering it.
Oh, no.
Making bags. doing stuff, and some clip from this dumbass podcast is going to come up, and I'm just going to be like, wow, fuck, dude. Like, at the time, it made sense. Even with the review team, at the time, it made sense. And that's why when Mike blows up, sorry, bro. Fuck. You're racist against a reggaeton.
Damn it, dude. I knew that was going to be the one that brought me
down.
But
then you
can
put this clip out and troll all the people who put that clip out.
Hey, but I think cancer clips. I think cancer culture is slowly just. I think it's teetering off. It's tapering off.
Yeah. When I hang out with Banks on Sundays to watch football, he says that I say things like, "Get me some black coffee." Like, my voice is just abrasive.
It's also you have a. Sometimes your accent, you say water instead of water. You say salve instead of solve. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Danny has an accent. She's from Indiana. This one was weird. This is the first time I really had a problem with Danny's speech.
Did she say warsh?
No, she didn't say warsh. She goes, we need to teach Broly how to sniff bombs. And I go, what do you mean, like lip balm?
Bombs?
Like chapstick? She goes, yeah. No. She goes, no, like bombs.
Like,
what are you saying? Like cherry flavored, like
Listex? By the way.
And she's... Bombs.
Like what?
Well, you've been working on it, clearly.
I was just.
And I go, are you saying bombs? And by the way, great suggestion. Why would my husky not be able to submit NIF bombs?
He should be able to.
And why did you think that was a good idea? I'm just curious.
Because the trainer sent me a video of his dogs.
Oh, the trainer's other dogs can sniff bombs and ours can't. That's our cool. Our dogs are inferior. No problem.
You have one dog that can get a tennis ball in the pool. You have the other one that just kills everything.
Yeah, but not anymore because her ovaries are removed.
Yeah, is she less aggressive?
And uterus.
Because all day I've heard her viciously wanting to get out of your room.
Well, she wants to play. She can't. She got the cone on her head.
The cone of shame.
Yeah, I feel bad.
I just forced Andre to pan over to Danny. I read the comments in a couple of the last videos, and they're like, we love Danny. She seems like a breath of fresh air in the Maverick house.
Yes, she is.
And
we should have her on as a guest.
100%. Definitely. That'd be awesome. And two, people love audience interaction, and we've learned that from the night shift.
We need an audience.
People
cam.
Love seeing what the audience is doing when they clap, when they laugh, and so that's why I wanted to get a quick close up of Danny. And she's great. I mean, she's great. I mean, the girl is a breath of fresh air.
Hashtag talk like a pirate day. It's today.
Can't believe it.
Hashtag talk like a pirate day.
Can't believe it.
You guys want to read the last text you sent as a pirate?
Yeah.
And by the way, I was a pirate in my last life, according to that one guy that we had on the show.
Yeah, you were.
Oh no, my last text was just this. Ha. Oh, I'll read the one before it. You didn't think I would do it?
Ha. Yar. Hey, sorry, ripping for pod all morning.
Yes.
Wait, one more time?
Yar. Sorry for prepping for pod all morning.
did you type yar? Did you say why?
No, I didn't. I just added that.
It's like, what are the odds? What we got?
Mine,
Mike?
Was to Foozy. I said, yar, what's your schedule tomorrow? The format for big guests like you is I come out to shoot a segment called Menial Tasks, where we do a dumb everyday task while talking YouTube, boxing, and mental health, etc. Walk the plank. It's legit a 20-minute shoot. Yar.
That's great. Good stuff.
That was fun.
That was great. Thanks for that, Dylan.
I would have loved to be a pirate in my last life, bro. Just fucking swashbuckling. Swashbuckling
your
with the sword.
Your dad
walking planks.
A pirate.
Yeah.
I think
your
is.
Dad is a pirate.
Still is. Still?
Yeah, he still currently
now,
is.
Now, GP's cooling off, dog. He's,
really?
Later years of his life. Yo, he said something to me the other day, and I checked him on the phone a little bit. He said, I was like, what are you doing, Dad? He's like, oh, about to go work on a house. Got to get this money, you know, trying to get as much money as I can. And I was like,
oh, shit.
I was like, Dad, why are you complaining about money? You have two rich ass sons. Like, if you need money, ask me. And I mean that. Like, I remember I loaned him money to fix his varicose veins in his leg.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before on this podcast. It's like 12K. And he's like, you know, Logan, that means a lot. I want to let you know I really appreciate it. And by the way, I really appreciated his gratitude. But also, it was weird to hear him thanking me for being able to provide him something because he provided me with the values I needed to get the thing that he needed.
Ooh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's like I owe my life to him, feel like, in many ways. So I mean, Pops, if you ever need money, like, I got you.
We're one of the only cultures that kind of treats our elders the way we do. Like, will put people in a home. And it, when you look at, like I lived in Toronto for a couple of years and, you know, a lot of, you know, Indian cultures, Chinese cultures, like their family moves in with them. Like yeah. they're, when they're, you know, elders, they move in with you.
They take care of them. I mean,
I'm kind of glad we don't have that structure, to be honest, but I know families that do that. But it, yeah, it's a cultural thing.
You know that, you know, in the last few years of my addiction, I lived with my grandfather. He had Parkinson's, dementia, cancer. And the question was always there, like, yo, it's gotten to a point where we can't, I mean, it's 24 hours a day.
Right.
24 hours a day of like, yo, he just, I don't want to even say what he would do. He pooped on the floor, like the shit that I had seen.
Literally.
Like, and shout out to all the nurses, to the nurses, to anyone working at a hospice, to anyone working in a retirement home. I mean, the strength and just dedication that these people have to taking care of people in their last days
is
having seen it for 4 years, I can understand it, but how they do it for years and years and years. I mean, massive thanks to those people. Cause that's incredible.
It's a next level of empathy that I strive to even be able to understand one day.
Mm.
People who, when I ask people, I always ask people, strangers, I'm like, yo, what do you like? And I get the occasional, I love taking care of other people. And so badly, I just want to literally steal that trait from them. I want to be like, give me that. Like if I could steal traits from people, that would be one.
Well, hold on a second. Here's a question for you. Have you ever tried it?
Taking care of other people?
Have you? Not taking care of, but for example, and you have, I've seen you do some work with Make-A-Wish, some work.
It looks like they're seeking it. They're seeking it completely unselfishly.
Like it's like a lifestyle.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry. It's like if you were to ask me like what do you like to do? I'd say create.
Right.
Their answer is
help.
Help people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the first. I'm being honest. It's not the first thing that comes to my mind.
I think
everybody's wired differently, and I think
for sure
that's why it's unique that each of us are different because we can take little bits and little traits from each person.
I think he'll grow into
it. I'm evolving, yo. Yeah. I'm a Charmeleon. Ooh. I was a Charmander. I'm a Charmeleon.
Damn,
soon, son. Bro, whoo, I'm going to be a Charmander. A Charizard. I'm going to blowing fire on everyone.
Have you gone on like a mission trip or like a week or like 2 weeks somewhere.
I want to do that. I want to do a silent retreat. We talked about, Mike and I yesterday talked about grabbing the whole crew and moving to Iceland for a year.
Yeah, just for doing it.
Switzerland for an entire year.
Maybe like a month.
No, a year. Because think about
a year?
Yeah, like volcanoes it could be need help and shit.
I mean, that's game changing. When you look at like LA has become so saturated, like there's not really much you can do here in LA. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I got distracted by your feet. They smell phenomenal. Actually, they smell really good.
I just got out of the shower. Yeah.
Before Iceland, can I touch on one other thing really quick with him talking to his dad? Do you guys ever like, you're a little bit younger, but I'm sure it still does happen. Like even when your parents like joke around about it, like they'll be like, you know, just trying to, like they'll say it like so nonchalantly, just trying to put away enough money, you know, for when it's, you know, my time to go. Or like for when it's my time to retire. Like every time my mom says anything like that to me, I'm just like, let's be honest, mom, that's never going to happen. Anyways, you see the Giants game this weekend? Like not dealing with it, not fucking dealing with it. Don't want to hear about it. That day is never coming. Like, what is your guys' approach on like talking to your parents about their like ultimate demise?
Dude, my family has been very open about it. Like my grandparents already have their caskets paid for.
Same.
What?
Yeah. Same. They're like, we're not going to let you guys have to deal with our funeral. That's ridiculous. And then we'll like say, oh my God, grandma, like what is wrong with you? And they're like, no, they don't see anything wrong with it. And I respect that. I do, because I see families where like the elders become so like heavy and reliant on their kids. It's a blessing to have grandparents that are like, no, I mean, we're probably going to kick it within the next like couple of years.
Bro,
like,
the fact that you're saying this is so funny to me, because my closest relative outside of my like direct family, my grandmother on my mother's side, took care of me through, you know, all of my hard times, never left my side, so close. And literally for the past 10 years, every day. The only thing she makes sure she brings up in every conversation is, you know, it's probably all going to be over soon. And I just want to let you know. And so she got obsessed with her burial expenses, quite literally obsessed. She's like, I just want to keep you up to date. There's only 3 payments left to the Jefferson funeral home. And I'm like, Grandma, I don't want to talk about this shit anymore. I want to bring you to get lobster rolls. I want to bring you to I'll watch Golden Girls with you. Or
she's like, speaking of lobster rolls, I'm going to be rolled up in a little blanket on 6 feet under.
Literally.
Hey, cremated or casket? Buried.
Cremate.
You?
Yeah, 100%.
Save space.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
My dad told me something that was cool. Why do you think about your answer?
I don't know, but the one thing I do know is that I probably should donate my organs.
I'm an organ donor. I'm a friend with Mark Donor too.
I checked no, and I feel bad about it, and I'm going to rechange it, but I keep struggling with the idea of someone taking my heart out. Why? And my lungs.
Why?
And like, if they're going to go, you know what? Bet you this kid's got a nice healthy spleen. I don't even have one. They already took it. It's gone. I obliterated it. And by the way, God forbid, they go, oh, little Timmy needs a liver implant. And luckily we've got little Timmy. You're fucked. You are fucked. If you get my liver, dude, you might as well just fucking end it, dude, because you got no chance, bro.
Yeah.
I think that's my thinking on it. Like, I don't know that people want these organs, bro. Yeah,
what about cremate though or buried?
I think I might go with buried.
Okay. Mm.
Just because, like, here's the thing. If you get cremated and the apocalypse happens and zombieism becomes a thing,
you ain't got no chance, God.
Bro.
That is the smartest thing you've ever said.
If you're cremated and you get dispersed over the National Rockies as Blue sings a hymn or some shit, okay? And then I'm chilling in the ground next to him because, by the way, we got a joint plot because we ain't giving up on this living arrangement until 20, 30,000 years from now when the planet implodes, okay? Right. And zombieism happens. What do you think? Your ashes are going to rejoin from the fucking sea? They're already going to be eaten by kelp.
That's true. Yeah, but you're going to you're going to wake up in a casket.
Ooh, oh, that's fine.
How does a zombie get out of a locked casket?
Have you not seen what zombies are able to do? Have you not watched
this? This is what I'm going to do. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's a burial tree pod.
Yeah. Oh, those are dope.
Yeah, those are sick.
You can get buried inside a tree pod and then you become a tree.
Do they put you in that upright seating
position? You put your body in a fetal position?
Fetal position, yeah.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah, but you're a tree.
It is epic, though. It's epically creepy.
You know what I would do if I could do that? I'd have him put me in some super dope genetics pot plant, like a weed plant.
Oh yeah,
and then motherfuckers would be smoking Mike buds.
Hey, I'm being facetious, guys. In all reality, I'm gonna be the dude who cryogenically freezes everything. That's me. And by the way, in 150 years, I got 126 left. 126 years. They'll have some sort of instant freeze system where I can. I'll come back year 3000 blasting the Jonas Brothers song and be like, have you heard this song about this year?
Question for you.
You'll carry on our legacy. I'll just be floating in the cosmos.
You're right, boys.
I'll be a zombie. Question for you. That procedure sounds expensive. I know you're going to be rich as fuck. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen to me. So I'm going to ask you right now. Is there any chance you can handle my cryogenic freezing and agree to it right now on the podcast so that it's recorded and there's no questions asked?
I know, for like content, I should say like, yeah, nah, man, nah, you got that.
You're popping off, dude. You've become a legit.
Yeah,
you got merch coming. I seen the designs.
I seen the designs.
You're about to get rich as fuck. That's what's up.
What if I just randomly have a 2017 LP here on the merch? And incredible. I'm like, here's the problem, Logan. I got to let you go, man. You're fired.
I see it.
It's not going to happen. I mean, it might. Who fucking knows?
India banned jewels.
Jewels?
Jewels.
Oh, jewels.
Yep,
so you can't wear diamonds, can't wear rubies, any of that shit?
The things you smoke.
J-U-U-L. Yeah.
Oh, the jewels. Double U. Yes, e-cigs.
Mm-hmm. And apparently the U.S. is tightening its regulations as well. And I'm so curious why these are
being
banned and not cigarettes, dude.
I know, it's interesting. Yeah, seven people have died from jewels. And how many people have died from like cigarette-related cancer?
You know what, though? You know what's tricky about cigarettes? And like, take this with a grain of salt. You always hear that one story of that, like my grandma's an example.
Right.
This bitch been smoking for years, yep. decades on end, 30, 50, 40, 50 years. And she's like 80, 85,
How does
90?
She sound right now?
Sounds like this.
Exactly.
She goes,
you turn into a man.
I remember,
she'd quit.
Black coffee.
She'd quit for like, you know, 2 days.
Yeah.
With her like patches or like gum. I used to be a smoker. And I was like, Grandma, you sound
like a pirate.
You sound like you have a cigarette in your throat right now.
She goes, you're right, I'm still a smoker. But yeah. she's fucking killing it. Shout out, Grandma. By the way, Grandma, go, which is her nickname because she's always on the go.
I see the definition of killing it. You know, it's debatable though.
So maybe it's people like
her. Quality of life is what I really look for. You know, like I want to be 80, but still be doing Ironmans, and that's possible, dude. I've actually seen a couple Ironmen scooting past the finish line around the same time as me.
You're lying.
That are in their 70s.
You're lying.
Yeah, but do you think
they've been doing it their whole lives?
But would you be willing to give?
That's a good quality life. Yeah. You know, yeah. 70 in a little rocker, like, oh, my back. Versus like, hey, I just finished Ironman. You guys down to, you know, kick it on my yacht? And then we'll go to Fiji where my 17th house is.
Would you be willing to give up the dope ass 25 to 40s so that you have a pretty dope 70 to 85?
I don't think I'd have to give it up, you know?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. When's the last time, like, you had bacon?
Or fun.
Bacon,
5 years. Fun today. I'm having fun right now, honestly, to be quite honest.
Area 51 raids tomorrow.
You're lying. That's tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow.
It got canceled.
I'm not sure that works.
Hey,
you don't say, Dylan.
You don't say.
What do you mean? There's 2 million people showing up.
That's
really
the Area 51 this weekend shows the marketers can make a killing on the absurd. Oh, I bet people are
this
capitalizing
is
on this.
This is published today.
Two YouTubers recently tried to get in and got arrested. You don't say, by the way.
Dude, they got 3 miles deep.
Bud Light. We come in peace alien cans.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of brands that made some bags off that.
Do you think, I mean, if there's going to be like a, not a mass extinction, but a semi-mass extinction, it'll be happening tomorrow.
Oh,
because
yeah.
all the people trying to raid Area 51 will get mowed down by a
carpet bomb.
51 helicopter.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to get AC-130 into the same final state that Spencer's going to be.
Just cremated.
Cremated.
They don't even
on-site.
Need to get cremated.
Somebody's going to literally be asking him with a microphone, would you rather get buried or cremated? And they're just not even going to be able to answer it. The answer is going to be paid for them, bro. Decisions made.
Hate to switch the vibe, but I feel like we should talk about this Sandy Hook video that went viral recently. If I play this, will I get? I think I can play it.
What do you mean? Don't play it. It's just like
it's pretty gross, man. I'm going to be honest. It's disgusting.
I don't.
Maybe we could play like a little clip.
I'll play a little clip of it. I'll play it until it gets like kind of way fucked up.
Now
this year, my mom got me the perfect bag for back to school.
Now
these
this put that out. Wow.
These headphones help me stay organized.
These headphones are just what I need for studying.
These new sneakers are just what I need for the new year.
This jacket is a real must-have.
My parents got me the skateboard I wanted. It's pretty cool.
Dude, this really actually pisses me the fuck off. I'm not one to get pissed about stuff. This pisses me off. That sensationalizes and normalizes school shootings. And I get there's another side to the conversation, which we can talk about. But damn, that's fucked up. Because what you have experienced in your life and the destruction that the audience is going to send your way for trying to bring some awareness to an issue, it's exactly what they're doing right here. That's exactly what they're fucking doing. They're trying to sensationalize something, get views, and get traffic. I don't give a fuck if it's to a good cause. You do not do it like that. You do not. It's so sad to me that our education system has gotten to this point. It's so fucking sad. Like in Michigan, where I'm from, there's a $40 million school that's being built right now with windows that are all bulletproof, curved hallways. We're building schools to prevent school shootings. $40 million. You could send 800 kids to college, a $50,000 college for free. Like, this is the route we're going with education? It's fucked, man.
I agree. I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I am too. I saw it
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, coming from someone who makes shock value sometimes to push an agenda, this is way too far. There are so many better ways to go about this. And I think what you said about it sensationalizing the school shootings is exactly what it's doing. Nothing about this. It's just sad. I watched this and it's just sad. Like, what is the call to action that now?
That's the biggest question.
Now we need, is it just to scare people? Because it is heavy. And by the way, like, it might be effective.
I visited their site. I mean, they're like, don't get me wrong, right? They're giving away free guides. They're giving away free things. And, you know, you can donate to the cause, the Sandy Hook cause. And, you know, I do want to do a little more research on it. But at the same time, man, it's just the way we're going about normalizing this.
Do you want to know what I just thought of while watching that? It's kind of a side thought, unfortunately. It steers away a little bit. But the biggest booming industry that is going to exist in the United States in the next 5 years, calling it right now, is the need for in-home teachers. My sister has a 1.5-year-old son. That kid's never going to fucking public school. There are millions of other mothers in this country and millions of kids right now that will never see the inside of a public school in this country. If I had a child right now and the thought was, okay, kid, when the bullets start flying, which unfortunately they're going to, if you watch that, your school's going to get shot up.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
It's teaching
basically fear. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to send my kid to school, man, not to learn trigonometry. Cause guess what? You're not going to fucking use it anyways. Okay. So I'm going to keep him home. I'm going to teach him about how to be a good marketer, a good business person. And by the way, I'm going to get his YouTube channel started. Yeah. Okay. Because that shit is fucked.
Want to know what is happening right now? That this money and this attention should be going to is we warehouse children in prisons. In prisons, 14,000 hours of their life are spent in a building. 14,000 hours. That's so much time. And we're putting them in these buildings and we're teaching them to fear school shootings instead of let's raise money for mental health and let's individualize curriculum. Let's build relationships with every single student. If you did that, you would be able to say, this kid's a serious problem child.
Yeah.
And we need to pull him away because he could be a potential hazard to this school. You look at most school shootings, they see that these kids are fucked up
every time.
And they don't do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you're trying to get everybody to fear and download a guide to prepare for your school to get shot.
Horrifying.
Are you
horrifying?
Who thinks of this? And now this, a platform of millions, puts that out. Because they know it's going to get views. That's 100% why they did it.
Anna Akana said it on our last episode, her obviously being close with or having dealt with suicide in her life before. She said after that show 13 Reasons Why came out, you know, they had sensationalized suicide. And the next month, I think suicide rates
jumped.
Had jumped. And I just pray to God that this does not have that effect because of what you said, that sort of romanticizing school shootings.
It does, man. It will have that effect.
And something that people don't think about that, like I thought about when I was watching that ad, is the actual production. Like, you get a call sheet, there's a script.
Yeah.
And they have to instruct these, by the way, minors under 18, they can only be on set for like 6 hours before they have to do a mandatory like 2-hour at home school session. Minor actors, that's the law. Okay, Billy, in a panic, say that you got this skateboard from your mom and smash the window. Like, and the girl in the last scene, the girl crying in the bathroom, reading it at her phone, like everything on set. I cannot imagine the tension and the apprehension of the actors. And
it's just a shit. It's just a cluster.
And these people
the
who are producing it think they're like saving the day.
Do you want
to
know?
And that's what's just disgusting.
They wanted to make
raise
noise.
Awareness.
Yeah.
I think
not how you fucking do it. Right. It's not how you do it.
Right. Here's what I would say. And I just thought of this, just kind of listening to you guys go back and forth. Where is the video that like this is well written, well acted, and drives to the fucking heart. Where is the video that shows what is truly left behind after a school shooter shoots up a school? Directed at the potential shooter. If you're watching the show right now and you ever have the thought anything, you will not have your picture ever shown. We will not say your name. Mm. We will not make you famous. Mm-hmm. Your family will suffer. You will not be remembered. You will not be glorified. Nothing you think that is going to happen as a result of you doing some heinous act will ever happen. You will be forgotten. You will be lumped in with a group of other school shooters. You will be a nobody.
I've noticed the media has gotten better at that.
And they've done it. And we are all. And that is the responsibility of the show. We will never show you. We will never fucking show you. Ever.
You know.
Ever.
Is there a what? A girl school shooter?
I don't believe there has. I don't know that there has. It brings up a massive conversation about male toxicity and masculine.
Also, I saw a really good piece that was put together about how schools are actually structured to not allow male energy to thrive. So it's not as much as it is toxicity as why is it that girls get better grades? You know, why is it that we push this graded system when males, when you coop them up in a room, they need to go play. They need to go move. They need to run around. Yeah. And when you take away recess, which is what a lot of schools have done, you know, which is why my film is about that, you don't allow the male energy to actually fully express itself. So it gets pent up and you're grading people and you're telling them, you know, this is the standard. You should be more like the women. You know, we have all been compared to why aren't guys smarter than women? And then it creates this resentment.
Just to play devil's avocados for a second. Are you saying if there was recess, there'd be less school shooters?
No, I'm saying it could be a factor that, we're not considering that when you really pressure kids to all conform to how one way of success is measured, then they're not able to be themselves. They're not able to be a kid.
Why? Oh, really quickly, question for both of you, or it's not even a question for anyone, but why are school shooters shooting up schools? It usually goes back to bullying, correct?
Bullying in isolation,
right? They've been bullied. And so once again, if I had those ad dollars, that's, Logan, how much was that video? 250,000, 500,000. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars to shoot that video.
Probably 100 to 150.
With all the legal and whatever, right? If I had that money, I would have hired two writers. One script that drove directly at the heart and mind of the potential shooter, and one that drove directly at the heart and mind of the potential bullier, and said, this is what's going to happen if you bully people. You will have blood on your fucking hands. If you're bullying someone at school, this is what you are causing. And if you think about shooting up a school, this is what you are leaving behind. It's not what you think. Because the thing is, unless you, from a marketing standpoint and an advertising standpoint, which is the thing I know the most about, if you are not hitting a direct niche audience with a direct message, they don't give a fuck. What they played right there is a broad visualization of a school being attacked that doesn't matter to anyone.
Well, I think
you see it and you get scared. I think,
you know, even I see what you're trying to get at, but fear is not going to cut it.
No,
like it, period. And if you really want to solve this problem, I think it goes to show like how politically charged this is, right? We see shootings and then there's gun laws and that's the only talk. Where is the all out, like, war on mental health? Where is the army of mental health? We start to talk about guns. Like, come on. We should be talking about mental health. Mm. We should be talking about how can we spend $150,000 on a video to bring light to mental health and to change our education system, not to further protect and institutionalize our children. That's what we're doing right now. Yeah. It's the exact opposite direction. Like, It makes no sense. It just shows that we as a country do not understand this problem. And we're not even giving the resources to the right spot.
I love this version of Spencer. I like to see you passion. Like this. Yeah, passionate as fuck. The not saying it can't be done. Why we don't see a version of this video regarding mental health is because it is much harder. In a way, this was the low hanging fruit to make a video that has shock value. And by the way, you know this is gonna go viral. This is terrifying. Being on set and shooting this and calling action is terrifying. I've been on set where you have to be in a cringe situation where you make the actors do something. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Did any of you guys ever do a school shooting drill or watch a video?
Not. Yeah, we call them lockdown drills.
We did a lockdown drill. Yeah. But did you see a video of like kids running and screaming? Did you see on the news like school shootings happening every other week? It's happening, right? It's happening. But can you imagine what these kids are going through after they watch that kind of stuff? We have no idea.
No idea.
We're not
no
the
idea.
Kids.
We're
just spraying it out there and being like, I think this is going to work. Let's get views. Like, dude, this is terrifying if you're a kid.
I'd be so interested to talk to a high schooler because we're not like tight with any like high schoolers, but just ask them like, are you scared to go to school every day?
It's a really good question.
And also, what did you think of this video? I'm curious to see what they would say because there's no way. I mean, especially as a student, there's no way this video makes you feel safe in any way.
It just doesn't feel like that. Like they hit the nail with this video, and the risk was so great on it. My biggest thought on this whole situation is we unfortunately need a hero. We need someone that's going to come along and literally get this conversation fucking started.
Dude, I'm working on it. I got a bus in a garage right now about to get delivered to me.
Yeah, but I mean like in a very high public position. Like we need the leader of this country right now to be talking about mental health.
Dude, they're not gonna do it right now.
By the way, again, just playing devil's advocate for a sec. Maybe that's why this video was made. Maybe I'm being optimistic here. This video will urge someone to do something because it hit them a certain way that nothing else could.
Yeah, could have.
You know what I'm saying?
I'd like to see the brief. That's a great point. If you're watching this, there's no chance. If you can get this to someone that worked on this video, I would love to know who the target audience was, who the target demographic was, what the main purpose statement was for this piece and what they intended for this to achieve. Who was this aimed at and why was it made? Like, I'm very curious. Maybe, and by the way, that may exist in an interview.
Well, I think
I'm sure you can probably already find it. It kind of exists
through the sandyhookpromise.org website. You know, I think you can see it's like, get the facts. You know, they want to know the signs. Like they want to help people advocate to share this message. That's what they want. They want this message shared. They want as many people to be aware of, you know, knowing the signs, knowing what to look out for school shootings, and donate. They have a button to donate.
Which is great. I'm looking at the site right now. And by the way, it's the stuff they're doing is great. And so
exactly.
Here's what I'll say back on the marketing tip really quickly. You can do a lot of things on socials with the sheer intent of getting people to your page. It then is your duty to do the right thing on the page. And it looks like they're doing that because at the end of the day, the only thing that drives action is we are having this conversation because we think they fucked up. People are clicking through to their website and reading what they're about because people think they did something that was fucked up. If they made a piece that people were like, that was very informative. Oh my God, the Late Show is on in 15
minutes. Yeah, no one cares.
No one gives a fuck.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
And so it's such a fine fucking balance between making content that people actually give a shit about and making content that is. And by the way, this goes right back to our overall conversation about everything, about cancel culture, comedy. Where's the line? Where's the line between making people stop in their tracks and go to your website and crossing it and hurting people?
Well, this is interesting. I just saw that Nicole Hockley is the co-founder of Sandy Hook Promise. She lost her son in the Sandy Hook shooting.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing, you know, is it's interesting because it forces us, like, I don't have a kid that was killed in a school shooting, but this forces me to like
Empathize.
Yeah. So it does have that positive impact. And it's like kind of like what, you know, we put out in January. It's like you can, even if there's like that blowback, you can still create good conversations out of it. So I think it's kind of necessary stuff like this goes out to happen. But
by the way,
I'm not on it. I'm still not on board with the way they're doing it. I think just overall from a bigger perspective, you know, we're not hitting that mental health conversation.
The majority of their team has had people killed in schools. Not the majority, but there is a good chunk of people. And by the way, this is my neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like this is,
right.
this
yeah.
is, I've got a, someone that lives four houses from my mom, Victoria Soto's family, the most famous Sandy Hook person ever. The teacher that put herself in the way of the bullets to save children. Like this hits super close to me.
Right.
And so it always gets me fired up, but I mean, it got us talking.
Yeah.
It got everybody talking. It got people to their website. I don't fucking know, dude.
It's important. It's an important conversation that we're having. And I think this is one that we can't push off. And I think that, you know, our country has to do something big about reimagining education. You know, when you go to other countries, and I've been to these other countries, this is not an issue. They're not running these kind of drills. It's a whole different society. But I do not think the conversation is about, you know, only taking away guns. I think that's part of it to do some regulations on it. But I think we need to have that army of people who are really individualizing education. Mark my words, that's going to be what solves this. Is it when we remove the standards that we have placed on education? Right now, if all three of us go to school, we have to take one test to determine where we go. Like, I don't care that you have your issues with mental health. I'm a filmmaker. You like making, you know, YouTube videos. That curriculum doesn't give a shit about that. It treats everybody as one person. I don't care what each of you like. That causes so much stress, so much anxiety, so much bullying,
things. Why is that? Just quickly. Why do we have a standardized curriculum?
That's how it was created. And we created our curriculum the Industrial Revolution.
It's to churn out workers.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. There's got to be some benefit for the government or the private organizations.
It's how it started. Education reform moves so slow. And if you want to change it, we have to change it quicker. I think that's why we're seeing school shootings happening so much more frequent is because this system is so dated. It's so dated. You're going to college. You're learning social media marketing. You're learning business from somebody who doesn't have a business. Somebody who's never started a social media profile. So
how that's ironic so is
do
that?
Know, do system, know,
and then you're in debt. Dude, you're in debt for the rest of your life.
Let me tell you a quick story. When I went to Fordham University Satellite Campus in Westchester, when I was thinking about going further on with my college, I went in there and there was a full online and digital marketing course. I went into the room, I sat down, I was already 3 years at Lovesac at this point, or 2 years at Lovesac. I went in and the lady started teaching the class, and I don't want to call anybody out here, but within two classes, she said the following to me. I know this sounds kind of weird, but would you mind teaching the class? And of course I said, absolutely, that's fine. And I started building PowerPoints, and before you knew it, for class three, I was teaching about how to find influencers, how to drive traffic to site, how to measure what the right metrics are for success of advertising programs. And she was sitting there in the crowd like this. Very interesting. Yeah. And that point is so valid. Like you've got some overweight 70-year-old Wall Street banker teaching kids about fucking earth science.
Right.
It's fucked. It's completely fucked.
The whole system needs to get flipped upside down and people aren't prepared for that, I don't think. I think people that who don't know anything about education think, oh yeah, it's just how it is. But our technology is coming out, AI is coming out. We're going to lose tons of jobs. So this factory mentality and preparing kids for college is dated. It's dated. Yeah. It's already dated.
Why is our podcast so good?
It's fire, bro.
Why is our podcast so who else is fucking talking about the multitude of things that we talk? Like, think about what we talked about today. Just a quick recap. Good stuff. Bill Burr, cremation versus plant-based living when you're dead, school shootings. I mean,
It's just the way it be diverse.
Sometimes, man. Oh,
shit, impulsive. Dude. I mean, not to honk my own horn, but beep, beep, bro. Yeah. We are great.
Hey, thank you guys for listening to this episode. We hate to end on such a down note, but...
You got anything to end on instead? Like a final statement?
I think it's an up note.
No,
personally.
But I'm sure you could final note it.
Talking about
it. I'm sure
it. Talking about something that he's going to talk.
If he said something that was positive right now. Anything. It could be anything in the whole world.
Yeah, do you got any positive?
Direct. Little, just a little note? Say it to the audience. Nugget?
Life is great.
All right. There we go.
Nah, I thought you guys hit on all the important notes that I agree with, and I'm sort of going to be championing for you.
Yeah.
To make an impact.
Yeah.
Because I'm out doing other shit, and this is something you really care about and that you're really passionate about. And as an extension of me, if I can slap you on the ass and provide you with the assets you need to go do a great thing, I'm in.
Yeah.
And that's why I really said it. I like this version of Spencer and I like listening to him talk.
That's why I've like been called to education for so long, just because my experience through education was ass. And
the amount of times that word ass has been used in the past minute, you said slap him on the ass and give him assets.
Yeah.
And you just said, you also just said past. I hate to do it to you like that.
But yeah, hey, it's gonna get real. And you are giving me that platform with Impulsive. I'm gonna be flying back every single week, baby.
Fire.
I'm still on.
Fire.
Just don't get assassinated. Anyway, that one has ass twice.
Twice. Fuck, yeah, that's crazy. Shit. Hit that subscribe button. We love you guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Take it easy.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.